The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. It is page 128 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Allow me to read the words. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. In India, there is a caste system. According to the enacted Constitution of India in 1949, it stipulates that the state shall not discriminate against any citizen on the ground only of religion, race, caste, sex, place of birth, or any of them. However, the caste system still plays an important role within Indian society. There are four castes: the Brahmins, the priests; the Kshatriyas, the ruling aristocrats and military; the Vaishyas, the working class of farmers, merchants; and the Sudras, the lowest class of people. But there are those who are even below the lowest class of Sudras. They are the class of Dalits, and they are called the untouchables, as they are too dirty to even touch. The world population today is 7.8 billion, and the Indian people constitute 17% of this number. So, one person out of six on this earth is an Indian. And one out of those Indian people is Dalit, the untouchable. In India, the government made a system of quota in order to correct this inequality. Now, even Dalits can enter university and work in various positions and jobs in society. So, the author of the book, The Untouchables, Narendra Jadhav, who is an economist and president of Pune University in India, is also from the Dalit class. The current president of India, Ram Nath Kovind, is from the Dalit, although in India, a president is only a symbolic head of state, as India adopts a parliamentary system. Yet, most members of Dalits work in jobs such as cleaning or collecting sewage, or taking care of dead bodies. I once saw a documentary about a Dalit working as a sewage cleaner, and even on screen, I could feel the disgusting stench of the sewer. The Dalit worker in the documentary worked certain hours inside the sewer, but had to repeatedly come outside to get fresh air. Doing this work, he had no protective gear, but only a pair of shorts on his body. And when he went outside for air, He drank shots of strong alcohol in order to bear the stench. Only working as such, he was able to make a living. Life is also rigorous for those living in the countryside. The houses of Dalits look like it is about to fall down, with low roofs and small doors so that you have to lower your head to enter. Because their class is low, it is explained that they cannot build houses with high ceilings or roofs. And they cannot enter the houses of Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. In the cities, it is possible to marry people from different castes, but in the rural areas, it is impossible. So if you marry, you have to be renowned or be cut off from your family. If the cut-off married couple comes to their rural home, it is still frequent to be subject of honor killing. The caste that should disappear still wields spirit even today. This type of social class existed in most countries, not only in India. In Europe, there was feudalism, with classes divided into lords, the aristocratic knights, and serfs. Within the lords, there were five classes of duke, marquis, count, viscount, and baron. In Korea as well, the bon rank system called Golpum of Silla dynasty is representative of this. There were classes such as Seonggol, Jinggol, Dupums from first to sixth rank. The Joseon dynasty influenced from China and formed castes of scholars, farmers, artisans, and tradesmen. And below of them all, there were the lowest class of people. Professor Lee Deok-ju, who retired from teaching history of church in Korea, wrote in his book, The Start of Korean Church, the following episode. In the late 19th century, when the order of nobles and commoners was still strong in society, the lowest class could not sit at the same table as the nobles. This was particularly harsh for butchers, who were the lowest among the low. How old they may be, they were not considered as seniors, and they did not even have family registers, so they were not treated as a citizen. Thus, butchers formed their own village of similar likes, and the members of these communities were considered as untouchables by the noble class. In 1895, there was a butcher community living in Gwanjak-gol, currently near Angguk Station, around Gwanhun-dong, where Insadong Cafe streets are currently located. So, and a butcher called Park Seong-chun lived there. He had a serious illness, but the medical standards at the end of Joseon Dynasty was appalling. A missionary of Presbyterian Society in North America, Pastor Samuel F. Moore, heard of this news. He learned of this through the son of Park Seong-chun named Bong-char, who was a student at his Jesuit school. Pastor Moore took missionary Oliver R. Avison, who was at the time working in Jejungwon, the former institution of current-day Severance Hospital, to Gwanjak-gol. At the time, Avison was Emperor Gojong's designated doctor, thanks to his outstanding medical practice. It was the first time that the emperor's doctor came to a butcher village. Avison took good care of Park Seong-chun, and the patient was able to live. Park Seong-chun started to go to the church that Pastor Moore was serving in order to show his gratitude. But that church was a church for noblemen in the village of Gongdang-gol near current-day Lotte Hotel in Seogwangdong, and it was where the nobles lived. It was evident that a problem would occur in that region. The congregation of noblemen demanded that Park Sung-chun be sent away to another church, claiming that a butcher cannot come to a nobleman's church. Pastor Moore tried to persuade the members of noblemen congregation on the following reasoning. The first, we are all children of God, so it is only right that we worship together in one room. Second, the butchers are already using words of respect to noblemen. Third, it is the responsibility of Christianity to lead the lowest of people, the neglected, and the dying to heaven through salvation. Fourth, Christianity is not a religion of noblemen. Heaven is not reserved for the upper class. However, in the end, the noble members of congregation went out and formed their own church in Hongmun-sugur, between the current-day Jonggak and Uljuro station, Cheonggyecheon-Gwanggyo intersection near former Gwanggyo Johung Bank building. Park Sung-chun, witnessing all this, was shocked, but also became determined. In order to fill the places that noblemen left, he went around butcher villages in Seoul and spread the word. A religion that treats as a human being has come. Religion that treats as human being. To Park, to be part of this religion meant that he was able to become a human being. Park's message was a powerful voice to those living with the same resentment. As such, Gondang-gu Church became full of butchers and the lowest class instead. The nobleman congregation of Hongmun-sugur looked down upon the Gondang-gu Church, calling it Chopjang Church, taking the first syllable of mistress and butcher. Yet, the Gondang-gu Church continued to flourish. 3 years later, taking the offer of Hongmun-sugur Church to unite the church again, the two churches together arranged for a new place of worship in Tapgo, current-day Insadong. At the time, it was a miracle for a church for nobles and a church for the lowest class to come together. That was the start of Sungdong Church in Insadong today. In 1911, when Sungdong Church appointed an elder for the first time, Park Sung-chun was chosen against a nobleman candidate. Park later on went to participate in the petition movement to abolish discrimination against butchers. Today's scripture introduces Jesus looking in on an untouchable of 2,000 years ago, a chief tax collector. Zacchaeus was short in height. His small height turned him into a tax collector. And while tax collecting was a job that people pointed fingers at, it brought him great and enormous amount of wealth. Even more, he became a chief tax collector in charge of other tax collectors. A turning point in Zacchaeus' such life came. Verse 3 to 4 reads, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. The change that occurred in Zacchaeus' life was wanting to see who Jesus was. So he went out onto the street that Jesus was passing through, but he could not see Jesus due to the crowd heading to Jerusalem in time for Passover. Under this situation, Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore fig tree because he was small. Considering his age and social position, it was not an act to easily think of. This is like when someone who has never set foot at church suddenly felt like going to one and goes to a church on Sunday, only to find that it was not the right service time. The service currently ongoing is nearly ending, and he or she has to wait 2 or 3 hours before the next one. So he drives to another famous church, but it is not easy to enter because there are so many people. At this point, most people will return home thinking, oh well, next time. But he or she may not give up and participate in the service through monitors or screens in the church's detached building or go to another church. This is what Zacchaeus did is comparable to. That was the extent of Zacchaeus' interest in Jesus. Then, why would have Zacchaeus been so eager to see Jesus? The Bible does not mention the reason, so we cannot know for certain. However, we can infer two reasons. First, it could have been curiosity about Jesus Christ himself. Jesus spent more than 3 years teaching. He is right now about 25 kilometers east from Jerusalem. Once he enters Jerusalem, he will be arrested and die on the cross. Zacchaeus would have frequently heard of Jesus for the past 3 years. At the time, there were jobs that were looked down upon. Typical examples were shepherds and prostitutes. But far worse was tax collectors. People with previous two jobs were extremely poor. They had no education, so that was all they could do. But tax collecting was not the job of ordinary people. It was given and bidded among those who were moderately educated. Above all, tax collectors could grasp an extreme amount of wealth. Like I mentioned last week, if people were to choose between a tax collector and a snake to kill, people would answer tax collector. That was the extent of hatred towards the tax collectors. However, Jesus not only called Zacchaeus on the sycamore fig tree by name, but said that he will stay at Zacchaeus' house. Thus, Jesus enters Zacchaeus' home, and this is a reaction of bystanders. Verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." People muttered amongst each other. Here, they did not say that he has gone to be the guest of Zacchaeus, nor did they say he is spending the night at the tax collector's house. They sniggered that he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Two people, a tax collector was equivalent to a sinner. Jesus did not overlook tax collectors, who people shunned and regarded with jealousy. Jesus liked to spend time with the neglected, and thus people referred to Jesus as such. Luke chapter 7, verse 34. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, "Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." A glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors, were Jesus' nickname. Zacchaeus would have heard of Jesus' such reputation. He would have been curious. Who is this Jesus that he would accept tax collectors, this group that people hate so much? This question would have made him climb up the tree. For the second reason that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, we cannot but remember Jesus' disciple Matthew. Matthew, his real name was Levi. Matthew was a tax collector like Zacchaeus. Jesus called Matthew, and Matthew became Jesus' disciple. Zacchaeus would have been curious of what changed Matthew's life so much. Matthew was a tax collector in Capernaum. Capernaum was a commercial town just like Jericho, and the Roman army was stationed there. When foreign or conquering armies station at conquered nations, they do not stay at any place. They would reside where it would be the most easy to rule over the conquered. Capernaum was militarily that important as well. According to what I remember from theological seminary, Capernaum's tax collector afterwards would become Jericho's tax collector in time. To be a tax collector in Capernaum is to be at the epitome for a tax collector. Matthew, who was in that position, left behind all his gains and became Jesus' disciple. This would have shocked Zacchaeus. One person's life affects another in whichever form. Most directly, it affects family members, and by extension, affects friends, a society, a country, and mankind. In the book, The Egg Gives Birth to Chicken, written by Professor Choi Jae-chun, a zoologist and the first president of National Institution of Ecology, he recalls an episode from when he was studying in Harvard University. He received his diploma from Harvard for studies of Zooptera, which is similar to ants. He and his fellow colleagues disapproved of their advising Professor Wilson being dedicated to general classes for humanities students while not opening a single class for those in the diploma. One day, a student in the diploma program thought that he should file an official claim to Professor Wilson. This is what Professor Wilson answered to the protest. "It is, of course, important to open classes to natural sciences program. However, it is equally important to teach science to liberal and humanities students. It's because, with high probability, among those students, there will be those who will legislate and execute this country's science and technology policies in the future." To this answer, Professor Choi was shocked, and he answered it, and he marked it in his heart. After describing this episode, the author continues to write, "From this year, I opened a general class that all the students in the university can enroll in. I will mark my old teacher's words, and I will try my best. I teach with the belief that at least the student who took my class and later on becomes a factory owner of a fabric dye will not pour out wastewater when it rains. Even if there is an employee who comes towards him or her with the same suggestion, that he or she will tell in return of mating behavior of river fish and how they raise their babies. If I teach diligently enough, then one day, nature will also be naturally protected. It has been 23 years since I was ordained as a pastor. If I count the years of missionary before ordination, then it has been around 28 years. It was a great blessing that I was able to learn ministry under a good pastor for my first years. However, now there are more and more younger pastors that follow. I often think that like I was influenced by a good pastor, I should also be a good influence. I am sure that you have, in starting your work or in paths of life, encountered good friends, seniors worthy of a teacher. Did you not, from time to time, reflect your life in their life mirror? It is identical with our faith. From the good influence of many faithful people God allowed us to encounter, we were able to come to this place of worship. At the same time, we should not forget that somebody else is also looking at us. Zacchaeus' contempted life, with so much wealth but lonely, was so thankful at Jesus for intervening at his being all alone because nobody had called his name, that he came down in a hurry from the tree and led Jesus to his home. This image recalls when Jesus' party went to Bethany and Martha and Mary served Jesus at their home. Zacchaeus stood up, and this is what he said, verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Righteous belief does not end in the head, but trickles down to the heart and is expressed through hands and feet. Zacchaeus stood up and spoke out his resolution. This is just like a bride and groom signing to love and honor their companion for the rest of their lives, or as civil servants take oath to adhere to the Constitution, the law, and to serve the nation. Zacchaeus, who was small in height, in order to be compensated, became a tax collector and grabbed wealth and rationalized himself. He thought that nothing but money could keep him safe and that only having money would prevent others from looking down upon him. However, meeting Jesus Christ, he realizes that all that was an illusion. Only Jesus Christ was real. Then, not till then, he remembers the poor. So he confesses that he will give half of what he owns to the poor. Furthermore, he will pay back four times what he had cheated and stole. In the Bible, it is quoted four times, but this reads like, it's okay not to pay back, or to pay back just only the exact amount, or it's enough just two folds, but I will pay back up to four times. Yet, this does not simply mean that Zacchaeus is willing to pay even more than what he had cheated or stole. In the Old Testament, there are few regulations on compensation for stealing. There are mentions to pay back 20% more, or for stealing livestock, to pay back two times if the animal is still alive, and four to five times if it was dead. For the past month in our Bible study, we have been looking into 2 Samuel chapter 11 to 12. King David did not participate in the war with Ammon, which he should have rightly took part in, and in taking a walk in the palace roof, spots a woman, Uriah's wife Bathsheba, taking a bath. He calls to have her brought to the palace, sleeps with her, and afterwards she becomes pregnant. In order to form an alibi, he brings back Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, from the battleground to make him go home. However, Uriah, confessing that he cannot go home comfortably when the Ark of the Covenant and the rest of the Israel army is in the battlefield, sleeps at the palace gates with the rest of the soldiers. The next day, David brought him in and gave him alcohol, but Uriah still did not go home. In the end, David sent a message to General Joab for Uriah to be killed in battle. And then David brought Bathsheba to the palace to be his wife. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. The Lord sent prophet Nathan to David. Nathan did not say anything else, but told David the following story. There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and grew up with him and his children. He shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Nathan answered, "You are the man." David refers to the Old Testament when he shouted that the man should pay back four times. Exodus chapter 22, verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. Zacchaeus, previously, did not care for serving God or obeying God's law. As soon as Jesus entered his life, his eyes finally opened up to God's words and correctly realized what he should do. Dear members of congregation, we are all sinners as descendants of Adam. Even those among us with good looks, with much wealth, much education, and much talent are all spiritually Dalits, and in God's view, all untouchables. Despite this, as Lord called the name of Zacchaeus on top of the sycamore fig tree and told him that he would stay at Zacchaeus' place, he is promising that he will stay in our hearts and that he will be with us until the end of this earth. This is how we became a person worthy of human being and child worthy of God's children. As Zacchaeus, who once lived life that distorted its value, made determination to live the life of change and to obey God's words after he met Jesus Christ, let us also live fervently the life of obedience to God's words. And let's not forget, the power to change myself and others does not come from me, but from our God, who is our strength and his words. Then shall we be the living proof that God's words are of eternal life, and be the light that drives out this generation's shadow. Let us pray. Father God, as Zacchaeus lived the life of determination to obey your words, once he served you at his house, leaving behind his distorted life of being looked down upon, all lonely, as if in a remote island, and nobody calling him by his name. Let us also walk the path of change and not the path of distortion. If we enjoy distorted life just because it's fun, then are we not lost in indulgence? And are we not putting things off, rationalizing that it is difficult to live the life of change because we are in the midst of COVID-19? Let us all walk and run together with you, Lord, our strength, so that we may see the truth with enlightened eyes, and let us prove to the world that your words are the words of eternal truth. So that let us resemble what God's children should be like, more today than yesterday, and more tomorrow than today. And let us shed light to dark parts of society and renew it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.